This is the beginning of Channel One Over, and the visit with Miss Bessie turned out to be Bessie on Tuesday morning, the 12th of May, 1970. Visit with Miss Bessie, Tuesday morning, the 12th of May, 1970. This is our good Tuesday morning. Miss Daisy was working up scraps of meat that James had brought from the bar. This beginning of Channel One Over, 12th of May, 1970.
Yes. You just sit down like that and I'll see if I can. He's around. Oh, it's nice and cool in here.
Now, where's he going?
I don't know, but I'll find him. Yes, sir. Well, I didn't know that about Miss Daisy. I didn't know that. I just saw that big pile of meat there. She was, she had
she
a...
She cut it up to run it out.
Well, yeah. Well, now, she had a bowl of it there in the, you know, looked like enough for supper or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, looked like it was thawing, and it looked like good meat. And she said she had cut the fat off.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you don't have much to do. And then she took me in the kitchen. What did she do with it? Did she grind it or just make?
You see, we use that for frying. I use it too.
I'm talking about the meat part.
Oh, she cooked that for the make a stew or something like that out of it.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And he gets it from the meat hand.
Yeah, because he cut all the meat over there.
Yeah.
He had to cut it. He used to have a man that cut it, but this man didn't seem to. They would run out of meat during the party and things like that. So Buddy cuts it and puts it in boxes and lay a layer of paper on it and stack it, you see.
Steaks.
Yeah. And he cut boxes about that big, full, and pack them, put it back. Then it's put what he wants to help to get for cooking. He puts it out this side, but the other he put it back, kind of store it, you know,
mm-hmm.
so they can't find it, you know,
mm-hmm.
so they don't bother, so it'll make him cut so often, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to cut the meat certain days.
Oh, I guess I thought he got Bill down there to cut it all for him, but he cuts it.
No. You mean down to the bar?
Yeah, no, down to Bill's Market. I guess I thought they just...
No, Buddy cut it. James, he used to have a man that cut it, but the man didn't seem to do right or something other about it, but he... So he got him and James went in and started cutting it, you know?
Uh-huh.
So James told him, he said, I can cut this here meat.
Well, good morning. I thought I heard somebody in here.
Good morning.
Well, golly, Bessie, James can do just a little about everything.
Mm-hmm.
What's that
say? Well, yeah, I was just talking to Miss Daisy had a kitchen full of meat.
Yeah.
She was thawing and cutting.
Did you budget for it?
No. it was cutting from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
From the steaks.
Yeah.
Oh,
the scraps, you see, of fat and end of the quarantine
yes.
service, you see.
Yeah.
You can't use.
That's the best part of the meat. It's a little tough, but it sure is
what?
Good. The tail end of a T-bone steak.
Well, you have to cut them off.
Well, what does he do with all them things, Miss Bessie?
What, the meat?
Yeah.
He brings it home as daily to round it out for lard, you see, just like a hog lard.
Yeah.
You can take that fat and put water in it and boil it first, you know?
Yeah.
Then you cook it out. It'll fry out just like lard. And when you get through it, it don't taste like tallow.
Well, she don't have to buy any lard.
No. I use it too. You bring me some sometime.
Is that what you cook donuts
with? Fish.
What
I cook
in?
The fish with. You can't tell the difference.
Uh-huh.
It's better. Because, I mean, it's nothing to make you sick. Not greasy if it make you sick, you see. But the hog lard is greasy,
yeah.
You see. And that's good to cook with. But you can't make any biscuits or anything out of it, you know.
How come?
Well, it kind of make them tough. You can make it, but it make it tough, like, you know.
Well, you get used to it.
Yeah, you can get used to it, but I don't use it for biscuits.
Well, I've eaten many a tough biscuit.
You have?
Yeah.
I guess you're a Virginia in the Army. You eat anything.
Bessie, I don't understand how she does it. You put water in it and boil it.
You put enough of water on it and let the water boil out, you see. The water dry out. And then when the water dry out, then it started cooking down. It cooks just like you would do lard. You never run a lard, have you?
No.
No.
You know, that's shameful, Miss Bessie, and I never have either. I never rendered lard.
No.
You have to cook it down. You just throw it all in the pot and cook it down?
Yes, you put it in a pot. And then you put water in it, you see, let the water boil up in it, you see, first, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And when that water dry out, you see, then the meat begin to cook. It cooks right down, you see, dry right down to lard.
Mm-hmm.
It makes good grease.
And it don't take any time?
Well, it takes quite a time to cook it. You have to keep it stirring it, you know, keep from burning.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then you use the meat that you've got, the stew.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of good meat there. I never saw as much meat in my life. One guy, she had it stacked up in the kitchen, and it was thawed, so she had to do something with it, you know.
Sure.
She couldn't leave it.
Ooh.
Well, she don't have to buy any meat, Miss Bessie.
And meat. Well, it don't last. That don't last long, you see. But after I get all of them get to eating, it's gonna be won't last very long.
Well, you can bring some more.
Well, you see, you don't cut every day. You only cut once every 2 weeks.
Oh.
You see, he cuts enough to last 2 weeks. See. And then, and that's gone, then it gets more, you see.
Well, Bessie, I thought you had to be pretty well trained to know how to cut meat, so James just learns a lot of things over there.
Yes, you know.
He can do a lot of things.
He do a lot of things.
Well, how do you ever get into that meat cutting, Miss Bessie?
Well, I tell you. He used to have a man there cutting meat, see? And James used to help the man, you see?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what got ill of Mr. Rogers in the man, you see?
Oh.
And so he let the man go. And he started cutting himself. Mr. Rogers did. So he didn't cut enough. So James told him, so why he have to make me go out there and they're doing it a rush to cut meat. He cut steaks for the party, and he don't have enough cut. You see, he didn't have enough cut, so he told him, "Well, I'll try the meat myself, see if we'll have enough." So he goes in and cuts the meat, and he cuts up all they have, a box, two, three boxes of meat, steaks, you know. And so he said he never run out of steaks because he cut enough. When he see the steaks are gone, or then he go back in there and pull out another box. He have it all cut, have a layer of paper on each piece, all the way stacked up.
And Mr. Rogers can butcher too.
Yeah, he can butcher. Sure. He can do most anything.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah, he can do. He can do most anything, any kind of work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he used to work out the Camp Blandin when they were doing the war.
Yeah. Everybody was out there.
Yeah. He used to work out there. He can carpenter. He can do almost any kind of work. Anything.
He's pretty good to his people, too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. But he hell when he get mad, though.
Oh, he right peppery?
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
He right fire, I'm telling you.
Well, what fires him off? What fires him off, Shabbat?
What fires him? Well, I don't know. Just anything he don't go right with him or anything like that. Just somebody ain't done something right or something like that.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I guess it's just worrisome, you know, all that whiskey and stuff. You got to be bothered with it and all like that. You have to see after everything like that. Miss Roddy, she ain't much good, you know. She ain't so strong to be handling and bothering with all that stuff, you know. You have to be so strong, Captain, sometimes.
So, well, there's always enough things to go wrong. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Enough
to go wrong.
What does he do when he gets fiery, Miss Bessie?
What'd he do? Well, he just walked the floor. Pull his hair.
Oh, really? And puts on a little scene? Puts on a little scene, is that what you call it?
Yeah. Cut it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You fight too, you know.
Oh.
He'll fight.
Oh?
Mr. Rogers?
Sure.
As a man come over there once, I had a... Mr. Rogers had a little dog by the last Sergeant.
Yeah.
And this guy stole the dog. Stole the dog and went down to James's bar down there at McIntyre.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mr. Rogers jumped in his car and run on and got the dog. He found it. Somebody told me he went that way.
Uh-huh.
So he went on down and he had the dog down and there was the dog. They said he wore that man out. Yes, sir.
Oh, really?
Say he, he beat that man so. The man was sore and sick, too. Had such a fight down there. Oh, he'll fight. Don't think he won't fight you. And shoot you, too. He's good on that. He's a tree. Yes, sir. You'll fight in a minute. You cross his path, and you see what he do.
Yeah. Well, what else did he ever get into?
What else?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Just different things he gets into with people, you know. If they bother close to people, some they know him, you know. They don't bother with him.
He got a reputation.
Yeah, they know him.
He'll even use a gun.
Hmm?
He'll even shoot a little.
Yeah. He took off his gun from him. You know, if he had a high-powered rifle, you know. And he used to, when he get mad, he'd come over there to shoot somebody, you know, to the bar. And Rogers heard him saying what he gonna do. And so he run home here and got his gun. and come back over there. But he come in the whiskey place and bought a pint of whiskey before he went out. So when he got in there with the gun, Mr. Rogers told him to leave that gun right there. So you put that gun in that corner that's there, right there. You just stay there till you get orders what to do with it. So he put the gun down, and he ain't give it to him yet. And that's been 2 weeks ago.
Oh, recently?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. So he haven't given his gun yet. He haven't decided what to do, you know, with it. And so he said, now, when you let it stay right here till you get orders what to do with that gun, you see. You take it home or either and put it up or do something else with it, you see.
I don't want Arthur to have a gun when he's drunk.
Well, he bought a gun here, and sometimes, I think he bought it for Christmas, I think he did. I think it was for Christmas he bought this gun.
High-powered rifle.
Yeah.
That's silly. High-powered rifle.
Yeah, I don't know what he want with it. And when he walk up and down the road with it, carried, you know, got it in a case. It's in a case, you know. He walks up and down the road with it in his hand and go to the bar and come back up and go with it, you know. I don't know what he might do with it, you know, when he get drinking. When he drink that stuff, he don't know what he might do. So then he was over there saying he's gonna kill the well digger and Buddy. See? He's gonna shoot Buddy and Emmett. Mr. Rogers stand in the door. They was out to the meat house on the porch, and he was standing in the door, and he overheard the conversation, you see. And so, sure enough, he come home and got this gun and come back. And when he come back, he went in and got a pint of whiskey. So Mr. Rogers said, "You put the gun over there." But Buddy said, "Mr. Rogers waited right good till he got where his pistol was, and then he told him what to do." Yes, sir, he told him what to do.
Well, what had Emmett, what the well digger done to him?
Now, the Buddy said Emmett was sitting up there helpless, almost drunk, you know. He didn't, I don't know if he knew what was going on to get his gun or not. And so Buddy told him he was going to hit Emmett with a piece of iron. So he told him that if you hit Emmett with a piece of iron, said you won't get up no more. So you won't get up because I'll knock you down so hard you wouldn't get up no more. And so he got mad at Buddy because Buddy told him not to hit Emmett no more. Not to hit him with that iron he had. He thought he had to hit him, he'd have killed him. You know, hit you with a big piece of iron like that, or struck him in the head with it, why he might have busted his head open. He ain't got nothing wrong when he gets drunk.
And all that going on right here in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Over to the bar.
And Miss Liza brought all that on.
Mm-hmm. I told her they were going to kill her. That's right. I told him, Kara and Arthur are going to kill you if you don't get rid of them. I said, they're going to kill you. And sure enough, they did. They gave us such a pain around our heart that she said, she couldn't get over it.
Yeah. I think she stood up pretty well. But I've seen her up at your house there when she was mighty, mighty blue.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So down with it.
Now that is something. I guess Buddy and Mr. Rogers understand each other pretty well.
Oh, yeah. I and Jane been here about 30 years, I think. 35 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he'll never get another man to do what James do. He'll never do it. So nobody won't do it.
Not anymore.
Mm-mm. No. Now James cleans up them dining rooms. Now tomorrow is changing day of the grease in the those pots, you know, where they fry. He changed all that grease. He scrubbed that kitchen. He cleaned the dining room. He got 2-3 dining rooms now, you know. And he do all that cleaning. He gets a boy to help him sometimes. He says on Monday's harder than any other time. Because he can clean it himself when they... But Monday, they make such a mess on Saturday, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets them to help him. And so James do all the hauling of the help. He has to go way out to Flemington to get help. Hauling that help at night when he gets through, he takes that help to Flemington. He ain't gonna get nobody to do it, I tell you right now. So when James stops, he gonna have to do it himself. That's right, ain't nobody gonna do it. Nobody wouldn't do it.
And James keeps up that hauling, even when he's cleaning and all that.
Yeah.
And butchering.
That's right.
He still does all that hauling.
That's right. So when he lay down or whatever he do, Mr. Rogers dumb. So yeah, he might really shit up.
That's right.
Cause ain't nobody gonna bother with him. They might do it a day or two, a week or two, or something like that. But they finish.
They won't know how to do all that.
No.
It's really been a part of the whole neighborhood, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
People work there and go there and eat and raise the families out of that barn.
Now he used to, when I worked over there, the help had it better than we had it.
Oh, yes.
Because, see, he don't open up until in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
We were there, he opened all day.
Mm-hmm.
Served lunches and dinner,
mm-hmm,
all day long, you see, until night. And then night, you got to stay there. Of course, I got off at 5 o'clock. But the other half stayed on all day. From 10 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at night. I stayed on that place. Thought I made salads. I didn't do no cooking. I made the salads.
That's pretty good hours, Miss Bessie.
No, it wasn't a long hour.
Long hour.
That's right. Now you see, the help comes on at 3 o'clock, I think, from 3 to 4, and get off at 11.
Mm-hmm.
And see how good they are?
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked us to death.
Mm-hmm.
So when I took sick, Dr. Snow told me, he says, if you want to live better, you get off that job. So don't go back there no more.
Uh-huh.
So you stay home.
Did you do what he said?
I did.
Just too much.
Yeah, he told me that I would soon be dead if I stayed there.
Well, now James is a pretty tough customer himself. He can take care of himself.
Oh yeah.
Anybody come up and push him over, it'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
But he never gets into scrapes.
Mm-mm. No. No, no. He ain't a person that pick at nobody. But he'll fight if you ball him. Mm-hmm. You know, James is double jointed, you know.
Double jointed?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Left joint in his left two bones in his joint or something like that.
Yeah.
He's double jointed. Because he, one day over there, Arthur was bothering him and cushing him, you know. He was cutting his meat, too. He said, Arthur, you better go and let me alone because I ain't bothering you. You better let me alone. I ain't tired of your talk down tired of it. So he kept on asking, say, oh, you scared, you so-and-so. He says, he wouldn't say nothing. He just laid his things down with his knife and went to him and said, now come over that word again. So he did when he come over, but just knocked him cold. Mr. Rod and him had to pour water on him to make him come. Yes, ma'am. But it just knocked him cold.
He just had enough of that talk.
He knocked him cold and then turned around. He never turned around, helped to do nothing to him. He just went on back in and started cutting his meat. So left him, the rest of them do something for him. That's why he knocked him cold. He just hauled back one leg and knocked him. He fell off that platform there on down on the ground.
Well, now, when you was over there, nothing like that was going on.
No, no, no. You see, Arthur was kind of new around here then, you see. He hadn't been long come here. And he didn't hang out there like he do now.
And you didn't have any troublemakers at all?
No, no troublemakers. Everything was quiet.
Mr. Rogers never did have drunks around too much, did he?
No, no.
If you got drunk, you had to get out.
That's right. Yeah, he put in it, and then people get it too much. Drunk in that dining room, you got to get out.
Yeah.
And you know it's so funny? He used to wouldn't allow the girl to come in there with the chauffeur. When they first started away the show.
Yeah.
He wouldn't allow him in the dining room. Couldn't come in there.
But that got ahead of him.
Yeah. Too many.
Too many. His family all wears them now.
That's what I know. I say there's too many of them. Couldn't do nothing with that.
Well, a man got to take a lot in this world, hadn't he?
Yes, Lord.
But when his own family gets him going, he
couldn't do nothing.
No.
Yes.
He just got to look the other way in.
Yeah.
Make the best of it.
Oh, Lordy. Well, Bessie, you never know what goes on right in just right down at the end of the lane. You know,
no,
you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now this, let me tell you, it's Sunday. The people were over there at that little house, Taylor, and then some of Faye's friends come out there and had a little camper, they call it. You know what they call a camper?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was one that sort of folds up.
Yeah, I saw it coming over here.
Yes. Well, now that unfolds, you see, and you sleep in there and cook in there. except they didn't cook in there. And they went, they had everything in it, you see, just everything. Stove, water, and everything. And they went right back to the end of this little swamp here and set it up. And they spent the night back there. And they just had a big time. And you know what they did, Bessie? The cows all and the calves all come up there. And just stayed. They just stayed around there.
All of them just lay down there. They didn't move. They didn't bother them or anything.
They just wanted to see what it was.
Yeah. They liked to visit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I better go.
Well, Miss Bessie, if you go, I'll have to start working.
Working?
Yeah, I'll have to start messing around here doing something.
You know, we still got that cow that has to be milked out. That crazy little, she's got a quarter that the calf won't take. So we have to go get her and milk her out. A lot of things to do.
Well, she's just ornery now. Just ornery. I ought to send her to the market. Do you notice any difference in your bus driver this dusty weather? Is he?
Mm-mm. He don't let up. It's right on.
Well, now when the wind's over from this side, you just whenever he drives up, there's just a cloud of dust goes over and settles on you and Miss.
I have to shut the door. When he comes, I have to shut the door.
Oh, you do. And you know about the time.
Mm. Yeah, I know the time he comes because he comes around about 6:30.
Yeah.
To get David. Then he comes about 7:30 for the other children.
When did he come in the afternoon?
He comes around 10:30. He'll be long now pretty soon. He goes down there for somebody, I don't know. Then he comes back, and then he goes to Vicinope, or somewhere up there, about 11 o'clock. Then he'll be back again with David. He brings David in at 11.
Oh.
And he brings Cal and them at 4.
At 4.
And he comes back down here for something around 5:30, because I meet him a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Five, a little after 5.
But tell me, is that Miss Jane's daughter in there, or that's Freddie's wife?
It's Miss Jane's daughter. Jane.
You know.
Oh, you mean in there this morning?
Uh-huh.
No, that's Freddie's wife. That was Freddie's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Sue. Yeah, that was Sue in there this morning. Miss Bessie had to go get something. She
I got to go.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me get something for you right here.
Miss Bessie, enjoy the visit.
Yes, Miss Bessie. Thank you. I'll stay along, but I got to ask the stomach.
Mighty easy to get this time of year. It's so hot.
Huh.
It's easy to get when it's so hot.
Yeah. And I've been upset for a day or two.
Yeah. Well, you can't keep the dust out of your house, though, Bessie.
No, I can't keep it out, but I shut the door to keep the mold from going in.
And out there on the porch, it'll settle there.
Well, what I gotta do, I can't do nothing about it.
And nothing you can do. And your screens, it'll get all filled up your screens.
Yeah.
He just doesn't know what a nuisance he is, does he?
Okay. You got your pack? You leave your pack with the car?
Yes.
That's what I owe you. And let me get you your ice cream. Bessie ate too much cabbage, guys.
Oh, is that what happened?
And
oh.
Got upset.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know where the cabbage in the number, so I'm going to just be upset anyway.
Yeah, so we don't have to hear so much noise.
That's
nice. I think it is. Okay. I didn't forget your ice cream. Well, you still got to go home.
Yes, Miss Betty couldn't linger long. She had a stomach upset. She had to go home and take a medicine. Her stomach was hurting right then. And Miss Daisy was rendering lard, cooking down all the trimmings off of the T-bone steaks. This Tuesday morning, the 12th of May, 1970. Tuesday, the 12th of May, 1970. This is Tuesday morning, the 12th of May, 1970. This is about 4:45:50, Channel 1, over.
I went in and I said, Miss Daisy? I didn't hear a thing. I called her again. And she stuck that head around. She says, I'll be here. And I said, what you doing? Why, she says, I'm just in a big mess. And she came on around the corner and she had a platter of meat. And she was trimming it. And we talked about the meat a little bit. And it was just a small platter, and it looked as if it was all fixed. And I said, well, how much more have you got to do on this platter of meat? She said, well, she was about finished. I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go on down to the store and pick up the mail and be back by the time you finish, because we just like to have a little visit. Lord, Miss Miles, I just been missing those visits. Oh, I just been missing those visits. I just want to go up there and visit so much. Let me show you something, though. So she had me step around and look in that kitchen. I've never seen such a big pile of meat in all my life. Two big dish pans, way piled high, frozen, tail ends of the T-bone, just half frozen. And she had to go ahead and work it out. She's in the middle of it. She said, now wouldn't you know I'd get caught in something like this when I could go up and visit? She said, you won't catch me there all the time. I said, well, you know, we'll have another time. Oh, but she said, I just want to go this morning. And we talked a little while, but she said, you know, I guess I just have to do my duty. And you know, there for a moment, I thought she was just going to walk off and leave that, because she wanted to come and visit. And she had to ask about everybody. And so I went on and left. And I went over and stopped at Bessie's then. I said, Bessie? Oh, after we talked a little bit about the roses and so forth, I said, come on, get in the car. Let's go up and visit a little bit. Miss Maud, if I go up there, he'll make me talk. And I got stomachache. I said, oh, Bessie. And then she really did. She hadn't been feeling good. And we sat there a little while, and I said, well, you feel just as good sitting up there at our table as you would down here. She said, well, I couldn't sit long anywhere, because she had to go to the bathroom, you know. And you could tell she was sort of wavering, you know, she wanted to come, and yet she knew she shouldn't. So she said, well, I'll tell you, if I could, she said, are you going to the store? And I said, I'll go still. She said, well, I'll get a little something, a little medicine or something, and some ice cream. So that's what we took our time doing. And then she said, I'll go up. but I can't stay long. She said, that Miles, he is one spoiled person. Now, why don't he come down here and visit on my porch? She's full of wisdom.
Yes,
she is. Now, that was just as cute as pie. And she didn't feel good at all, but now she just rose to that and gave you a good picture of Buddy.
Yeah.
And when she got out of the car, when I took her back home, she said, now, don't you worry about Arthur having a gun. Because Miss Rogers not going to let him tote that gun. And I said, well, Bessie, you know, he just might get mad at anybody. You or me or anybody else. And he doesn't know what he's doing when he's drinking. She said, you don't need to worry. He said, as long as Mr. Rogers takes care of it, you don't need to worry. And I said, well, don't you worry a little bit about Buddy? She said, nobody needs to worry about Buddy. He got that pistol right by his side. Said, don't you lose no sleep over Arthur. Said, nobody likes him. Everybody hates him. They said, Miss Rogers, take care of it. Mr. Rogers, take care of it.